Welcome to the Business Reboot Podcast. I'm Corey, a brand strategist specializing in brand photography for small business owners.
And I'm Melissa, a confidence and business coach for female founders. And together we are your go-to mentors for all things business.
We help you refine your brand, generate more revenue, create offers that make sense, and navigate every season that comes your way in life and business.
We believe that you never have to start completely over. Sometimes all you need is a reboot.
Welcome back, friend, to another episode of the Business Reboot Podcast. Today, we are going to share a little sneak peek of one of the topics we are going to be talking about and diving all into in our next Built Workshop series that's coming up on April 30th. So here's the thing. We're going to be sharing about how to work smarter, not harder, and talking all about systems that every business owner should know about. So here's the thing. We all have 10,000 things that we need to do in our businesses to be successful. And likely there are some systems that could we could all implement in order to work smarter instead of working harder. But here's the deal. As creatives, and I can speak for Melissa and I both, systems have been a challenge for us over the years, though. We've learned that even simple systems can help us keep it all in check. And help us not to drop any balls. Because you all know my husband's favorite saying is like, I can juggle cotton balls in a windstorm. And while Melissa and I most of the time are really good at that, we have had to learn to put a few systems, simple systems in place to keep us from dropping all of the things that we are juggling with three businesses among us and all of the family things that we are also doing. But these systems also give us some shortcuts that allow us to be more effective and efficient in how we create and serve.
Right. Okay. So, hi, welcome to today's episode where we're literally going to be diving into some systems, looking at it all from the strategy and mindset perspective, some systems that are really impactful, really like helpful for you, but also just trying to help us get over the fear of systems. I remember Corey and I having a conversation years ago where she was like, oh, I am not a systems person. And well, lo and behold, guess who is a system person? Her. She really loves the system.
I had to get my tail on board because
You did.
Couldn't do it all.
That's right. Okay. So let's start with the basics. When we say a system, we're going to just define that as a tool that's going to help us be more efficient. It's literally that simple. Don't let it give you hives. If you're not a system person, just look at it like it's a tool. Okay. So we're going to just jump headfirst into today's episode, talking about the mindset portion of this, and how we will let the verbiage and, these words, this is like, has become so big for us in our conversations with our clients the last couple of weeks, but about assigning morality to certain things. And, it's kind of like saying, I'm on a budget. Well, that, you know, you say it, the words come out of your mouth, and it sounds like I am on a restrictive, no spending.
I can't spend no money.
I can't spend no money. Which is very funny because, you know, 6 seconds ago, I had to buy a new phone because mine literally won't cut on. And I am the 99-year-old that is in the grocery store with my phone on speaker because that's the only way I get sound out of it. And I'm like, in the produce aisle. And then I get an ad from Stanley and I'm like, oh, Corey, look at this cup. And she was like, did you really just complain that you had to spend money on a new phone? And then you see this cup and you were like, that's cute. And so, you know, it's eye of the beholder when it comes to the budget.
She's something when it comes to the budget.
That's right. Or thinking about diets. We had this conversation with a client earlier where we were saying, when you say I'm on a diet, people look at that and go, it's restrictive. Like I can't eat certain things. But the truth is the diet, just like the nature of the word, is what diet do you follow? It's what foods do you eat? Are you on a high protein diet? That doesn't, like, just the meaning of the word doesn't assign a morality to it. Now, what culture deems it to mean good and bad is different, but the word in of itself. So when we're talking a system, we don't mean it to be things that sound scary, but also you've got to have tools that are going to help you grow if you're going to have a business that's actually going to go somewhere. So first thing, when it comes to like just kind of wrapping your mindset in a positive way around the thought about implementing tools in your business that can be helpful, is just don't say that you're not a systems person. Corey learned to eat crow.
I had to.
When she now she's the person that's like, we should have a system for this. And I'm like, okay.
let me create us a system.
That's right. That's right. Well, because it immediately makes you repel the idea of a system that you could implement. And this is coming from two ladies who used to fight the systems that we now rely on for everything in our businesses. And you know what? We continue to adapt and grow because we're currently recording this podcast on a brand new platform that Zach implemented for us because it's better and more efficient. You can teach old lady dogs new tricks, so Zach says, but we're going to go and be honest with you. Yesterday, we about cussed all day trying to figure this out.
No, Melissa, we have to be honest because these are our people and we have to be real honest. And I think that we both might have said the F word a couple of times. We were rebuking the devil because he was at work within our technology and it was a pain in the tuchus. But we worked it out. Zach came to the rescue and we figured it out. Zach helped us. And this is just a new, it's a pivot. It's a new shift in the way that we're going to do the podcast. It is better for Zach. It's better for us. The platform is much more aesthetically pleasing for us to actually look at while we're talking right now. I'm like, this is so cute. I don't know why that matters, but it really does. But new systems can bring good things.
They can. And then that leads into the next point, Corey, about them being not so good.
Exactly. Well, here's the thing. A lot of times we hear like, but it's hard. And this is what we'll say. Like, well, pick your hard, lovey. Like, it's hard not having a system and your things are falling through the cracks. And it's hard to keep up with your clients when you're texting them. They're in your DMs in multiple places. You have emails out the wazoo. And I mean, somebody might have actually written you a note on a sticky note. Like you have to have a
put in the mail.
For real.
Have you seen the memes where it's like they crack open the fortune cookie and it's like, has anybody contacted you about your car's extended warranty?
Yes. But you have to have a system to manage all of those things. And so we're going to get into that. But here's the thing. We hear that all the time, but it's hard. And we have been those people that have been like, it's hard. Yesterday, we were those people saying it's hard. But here's the thing. It's really hard when you can't put your hands on a client contract that you need to use as backup for a situation that has come up, or you are looking to purchase a piece of equipment that's on sale and you really need it, but you can't really tell if you can afford it because you aren't utilizing a system to keep, you know, an eye on your real-time financials. Like, those are the ways that systems can come in and support you and oftentimes save you in your business. And so, again, it doesn't have to be super complicated. Yes, it will be hard until you implement it and it becomes a process. And once it becomes a process, then it just becomes a normal way of doing business. And so again, Melissa and I come from the creative fields and we are creatives at heart. We serve with our hearts. We make decisions with our hearts. But when you are looking at running sustainable long-term businesses that are built for longevity, you have to have systems in place. Sometimes you get to a point where that a certain system can only get you so far. And then once you get to a point, you need a different system to take you to the next level. And that's okay too. You're going to have a next season of hard, but then it's going to get easier.
Right. Okay. Before I get to the next point, I want to point out something. In 2023, I felt like our word at the beginning of the year was pendulum. Every time Corey said the word pendulum, everybody was like, let me take a shot. Well, now we're going to go on a caffeine binge. I want one shot of espresso for every time Corey uses the phrase, here's the thing.
You know what? I'm going to give you a here's the thing. If you could see my video right now, here's a double here's the thing.
Here's all the things. Wow, it's something. Okay, so speaking of hard things, no, I'm just kidding. Okay, so the last piece, just trying to wrap your mindset around implementing systems that can be really beneficial, is that you can do change. Okay, you can do big, hard, scary things. Like we've talked about, things are not going to be hard forever. You just spend time implementing the system and know that they are there to help you save so much time that your future self is going to thank you for and love you for forever. There are times where we have set certain things up, or whether it be automated posts, emails, whether it be loading in contracts and sending invoices, where I say, oh, I would love to just hug past Melissa because she was thinking about me.
Right.
And that's what a system does, is it allows you to have freedom of your time. And it's just the same as with budgeting. It's not necessarily, you know, looking at the end of a budget and seeing that it's got $0 left. It doesn't mean that you're broke. It means that you've told all the money where to go and there's nothing that's not accounted for. And that's how systems will help your business, because you're just telling all of your stuff where to go and giving it its own component to be able to work within and just be able to put it in its right time and right place. So Now that we've like worked through that, let's dig into some strategies of how they can choose which types of systems could be really important for them.
Right. Well, and this is where it goes back to choosing your systems wisely. Here's the thing. The timeline also matters. Like, don't try to systematize everything at one time. If you hear this podcast episode and then you immediately go into your, it would be like going into your house and trying to do spring cleaning all in one day. Like, I'm going to do all my closets. I'm going to do under the beds. I'm going to do the garage. Like, you can't.
I'm going to pressure wash.
I'm going to do the windows. I'm also going to weed every flower bed that exists in my yard. That is already making me have hives. Y'all don't even want to know what my backyard flower beds look like right now. But like, you can't do that all in one time. Same thing with systematizing your business. It will drive you nuts. For an example, switching our computers, because Melissa and I did start businesses back in the day when we started on a PC. I might have even had a Gateway. I'm just going to be wrong.
Oh, look at you. I think mine was HP.
I mean, like, so we went from moving over from PCs to Mac way back in the day. We've literally gone from the Stone Ages to our current systems.
But I had to have a disk for everything. You want QuickBooks? Here's a disk. You want Lightroom? Here's a disk. And when we get an update, we're going to send you another disk.
Wait a minute. Did you know that this is going to take us back? So I may have talked about this on a previous podcast episode, but there was I'm going to remember what it was, but it was an education community or an education course kind of thing for photographers, and they would send you a monthly disc.
Oh yeah.
And the disc,
I think it was David J. Was it David J?
It might have been. Like the old school photographers. And I learned so much, but like I could not wait. And my girls, we were talking about the other day, my girls when they were home for spring break, they're like, oh, we remember those discs. You used to get them in the mail every month in Hawaii. And like, that's how I learned to build a business. That's what online quote unquote online education. That's way back before it started. But I had a system for how I was learning and how I was educating myself on photography as well as business. But here's the thing. You know what, Melissa? I'm really going to get you. Take a shot. Drink it.
Shot.
Okay. But also, don't put all of your eggs in one basket. It can be tricky to use one system for everything because if it goes down, it's all gone. And Melissa has an amazing story about how she learned this lesson the hard way. And honestly, this is why we do what we do, because we have learned so many really hard and painful lessons the hard way that we just want to share them with you guys so that hopefully we can prevent some of that pain and angst for you.
Right. When I switched from PC to Mac, I remember that it was a year that I had a studio space and I was trying to get everything switched over, just because I knew that the response of the machines, the like displays, the editing, the viruses, all the thing, like that would be so much better and easier on Mac. And so when I did that, I think it cost me around $10,000 to get a laptop and a desktop. And then I remember buying QuickBooks and it was $900 for that little disk. And it was like $800 for Lightroom. And it was all of these other tools that I used. You had to buy the disc for him, and I couldn't get the student version, which, by the way, listen, this is just a little PCA about ethics in your business, because we know a lot of people who start businesses when they're in college. Please, y'all, give to Caesar what Caesar's. I'm just saying, like, buy the full version. Don't be making money off of student versions. You're not supposed to do that. And
This is why I also had my business finances on a spreadsheet and not on QuickBooks, because I was not going to pay $900 for QuickBooks. So literally,
Corey had her clipboard.
So many years. You joke, but that's about the way that the system was working. But yeah, I had a spreadsheet because I was like, I can't afford $900. So yeah.
Right. No, it's true. And so when I did that, it like upped my game exponentially. But then, like Corey said, putting things all in one basket, I used a company that, unless you were an old school photographer, you will have no idea who this is. But their name was Pictosh. And I was like a local leader. I'm in Athens, and I would meet up in Atlanta to do these big meetups. They always had the largest, coolest, most awesome booths at all of our huge conventions and things like this for photographers. They were like a hub for business education. The very first workshop and retreat that I went to and spent an arm and leg on at the time, I spent $3,000. When I hear people talk about how much education costs now, I literally want to pat people on the head and be like, that's sweet. Because I paid $3,000 in 2008 for my first little retreat. Yes. And at the time, that felt like I might as well hand over my firstborn. And so, you know, I was deeply connected in that particular company. And it was not only my payment processing, it was my gallery place. It was the place where I designed and edited albums. It was my album printing company. It was my print company. It was my contracts. It was every single thing that you would need, a one-stop shop. You get a membership and then they take a portion of your print sales and that was it. And I was devoted. And all of a sudden, one day I get a message that's like, we're closing in like 15 minutes. So what do I do? And I almost died. I remember crying and not knowing what to do because I'd run a business for like 9 years and had no clue where to go from there. I was never looking at competitors because I didn't need to. And so I ended up, oddly enough, HoneyBook called me because they had just started. And this was when they picked up the phone and you talked to basically the owner who wanted to give you a lifetime membership. And so I went out on a limb and I did it and became a founding member of HoneyBook. And now Corey and I are both HoneyBook educators. Same. And that is a hill we will die on. We love them.
I mean, love HoneyBook.
But so it was like, okay, but this is not going to be my all. This can't be my everything. And then I got a separate print company and then I was doing, so it's like, I learned from putting your eggs all in one basket that when the ship sinks, it, sends you into more panic than you ever want to know. So, which is why when we're talking about systems and picking the things that are going to be relevant to you, picking systems wisely, choosing only the ones to work on at a specific time instead of doing everything. When you see a place, this is just like our personal warning, when you see somewhere that says that it's going to be your everything, really consider whether or not you want that to be everything. I mean, well, even for us, we use HoneyBook,
right?
But my scheduling app is not through HoneyBook, and they have a fantastic one. I don't want that all tied together.
Well, and I'm glad that you said that because I too am a founding member of HoneyBook. Like, we paid the $500 back when they first started at the inception of the company, and like, we're lifetime members and educators. And while I love them and use them for lots of things, I don't use them for scheduling because I just don't want that. And I don't use them now that we have used, them for like payments and those types of things, contracts, and client files and communication. Oh, that is so amazing. But I don't want my finances wrapped up there. So yes, I get reports, or actually Carlene, my sweet bookkeeper, gets those reports out of HoneyBook, but I have QuickBooks because if the system goes down, I don't want everything to be tied in one place. I have PixieSet, which is my client, proofing gallery. I have a different company that I used to use for prints. I don't do prints much anymore. So there's all sorts of ways to diversify those systems so that, like Melissa said, everything's not in one place, because if the ship sinks or it moves out of port, like, you don't want your entire business to be on that ship and watch it go down too. So diversify some things, find the best systems, that you need for certain things in your business.
That's right. Okay, so here's some systems that you might want to consider that you get a firm grip on, okay? First things first is your financing and accounting. So that could be a spreadsheet. It could be using apps and software like QuickBooks or FreshBooks, or, I mean, there's a million other ones out there. Just keeping your finances at your fingertips and keeping them updated is going to be huge. Your system could be as simple as you making sure that you log a check or a deposit that you get transferred into your account, and you just list who it is. They gave it to you and how much of it's, you know, being utilized for your expenses that month. I mean, it can really be that simple. And even though you may not look at what you currently do as a system, that's what it is.
It is what works for you. Well, the next thing would be a CRM, or a customer relationship management tool. And this is where you manage all of your client contracts, your emails, your files, all the things that deal with client management. Melissa and I mentioned HoneyBook before. There's Dubsado. There's several others out there that are very popular, and we know lots of people that use, you know, a variety of them. But it's really important so that you're not spreading out your communication all over the place to where, like I said, you don't know if the client contacted you through email, through DMs. We always talk about don't do business in the DMs. That is a great place to bring people through. Like, you funnel people from there then into your client relationship management tool, because you want to be able to keep contracts and emails and all the things there. And I'm going to tell you right now, Melissa and I, have been saved time and time again by being able to quickly access an email thread or go back and rely on a contract clause that needed to be a quick reminder to a client. And so having it all there in one hub, when something arises, a problem that you need to solve, you're not distracted and trying to, you know, thumb through papers. I mean, we used to have paper contracts, which is so funny to me now.
I know. Oh my gosh, we did.
We did. I had a filing system.
I did too. I really did. And I remember my brides my brides would come work with me and I would, I bought like an embosser. Almost said embalmer. That's different.
I bought
an embosser so that I could like emboss their folder. And then the whole thing. Listen, if you were a photographer in like the early 2000s, you really did go through some stuff.
I mean, seriously. And really and truly, like HoneyBook has been around for a hot minute, but it hasn't been around for forever. And so I remember when Jen was still working with me as my VA, we kept certain things on paper, like paper contracts. And when I was doing senior teams, that's how I actually started them out, is that we would have that meeting, everybody would sign them. And so having a place, though, that it's not paper and pencil, having a place that everything can live in one piece of software is a really smart idea.
Right. Okay. So next would be your communication and collaboration systems. So in coaching, we use systems like Voxer. I use it a ton. There's Marco Polo, there's Slack. They're just great tools for you, again, because we don't want you doing business in the DMs and things getting lost. Or even, you know, if you're in Instagram, like DMs, and you send a voice message, that sucker will, it looks like it's there, but it's not always there. And so you go back and then you can't listen to it. And that's just not trustworthy enough. Apps like Voxer or Slack, where it keeps them. And allows you to be able to have access to them. Those things are huge. And it's also a great, great place for you to be able to not only have constant contact with your clients if you're in an industry that needs that, but also it allows you to then be able to go transcribe messages and use them as testimonials, which gets back to the same thing we've been talking about in episodes about elongating client journeys, like and being able to talk to people about your impact with your customers. And so utilizing tools like that can be really, really helpful.
Absolutely. And that's one of our favorites. In fact, we use both Slack and Voxer in the Business Reboot. And it is just, it is life-giving and such a lifesaver
sometimes.
Saves the day. It does. Okay, so the next one is BI. I know we've all heard of AI, but BI is business intelligence and analytics systems. For us, that looks like podcast data and analytics for our episodes and total downloads. And in fact, we were just talking to Zach yesterday as we are migrating the podcast recording and the hosting from one site and one platform to another. And we were like, what's going to happen? That was our first question yesterday, wasn't it, Melissa? What happens to all of our podcast data? Like, we rely on those analytics and we will rely on them even more as it grows and in the future. So we were hesitant. That was the first question we asked Zach. We were a little hesitant about switching platforms because all of our business intelligence and business analytics, they live on this one platform. And Zach, you know, reassured us that, hey, I've got it taken care of. Don't worry about it. This is how we're going to do it. And so we appreciate having tools like that because it will matter on the back end of our business in the near future. Different things, like let's say you have a Shopify site. Those systems that are in place for the business intelligence and analytics, why do I keep saying analytics? Tell we recorded a podcast before this? Analytics help you make decisions. Like if you have something that's not selling or you have something that is selling a whole lot of, those analytics, those numbers, that system that is giving you immediate feedback and report, those are huge drivers in the decisions that you're going to make as far as your product suite goes. So that's one of the tools that it may feel like, oh, that's super techie. I'm not sure about that. Make sure that you're utilizing all of those tools because the data-driven decisions are going to be some of your best decisions in business. We tend to, a lot of times, especially those of us who are like creatives and artists, we make decisions oftentimes on feelings. Like, what does my gut tell me? We will always tell you, follow your gut, but also back it up with the data and the numbers that support it. And so that's a really great tool and a system to make sure that you're putting in place in your business.
Right. And then the last thing is really to choose systems you can be consistent with. The only systems that will work are the ones that you actually do over and over and over again, just because it's going to be the consistency that changes everything. So here's like our final thought is that consistency will help your brain and your goals be on the same page. If you ever want to, you know, take on more and grow your business, you have to find ways that are going to make taking care of everyday tasks easier, quicker, and more efficient. And the way that you do this is to incorporate reliable, available systems. The end.
Mm-hmm. Right. Absolutely. And so here's the thing. Here's the thing.
There it is. There it is. There it is.
One more time. If you've loved this, then you will also love the deeper dive we are going to be doing on this, as well as how we utilize AI in our businesses and other creative processes to run our multiple businesses with grace and ease in our next built workshop that is going to be on April 30th. And Built is a series, for those of you who don't know, it's a series of quarterly workshops that are geared to help you reboot your business in 2024. Our first workshop took place in January and we did a great, like, dump the purse, audit your business for growth. And it was incredible to see how many business owners audited their businesses and got a lot of aha moments. And we are ready to do it again. So this next workshop is called Working Smarter, Not Harder. And it's all about utilizing and implementing smart systems and tools in your business. So think of it, like, again, I said, diving into AI and how we use it and other programs that you hear about online, but maybe you're not super sure you would be comfortable using them. We're going to simplify some things for you in that regard. But this workshop will be held online April 30th, and you can reserve your seat for $127. You can go to our website at thebusinessreboot.com for more information.
Yes. Okay. Thank you so much for joining us this week. Don't forget to connect with us on Instagram at Business Reboot or visit our website at thebusinessreboot.com. It's new, by the way. It's beautiful. Please compliment me. It took me 153 hours and I needed all of Corey's caffeine to get through it. But we'll be back next week with another episode of the Business Reboot Podcast.